Thank you for listening to this podcast from The Wave Ministries. Visit thewavecolumbus.com for more information.
Welcome to The Wave Podcast. I am Daniel Ortiz.
This is Michael Red,
my brother. I know how you're doing, but I'm still going to ask you for the camera's sake, the recording's sake. How are you doing, man?
Man, I am I'm doing well, man. You know how I'm doing. That's why you're laughing in the background. Just on a really just good space with the Lord and in life, because that is the order, right? And I think,
yeah,
you know, what we've been experiencing the last 6 months, 7 months to a year has just been overtaking us. And we just had a good, great gathering this past weekend.
My word.
Over Easter Sunday.
My word.
And just want to celebrate that. We had an incredible time together. And then, obviously, throughout the week, me and you have been corresponding and talking about the last podcast. And if you have not heard the last podcast,
you got to go on it, man.
You have to go on it. Okay.
Stop right now. And go to episode 198. This is episode 199. Go to episode 198. We almost pushing on 200 episode, which is the next one, which is going to be monumental because we started to talk. Everything's always about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but there's some revelation that the Lord's given us on Jesus and how to walk with oneness. So I agree with you, man. I didn't mean to cut you off. I agree with you.
Let me ask you a question. I'm going to cut you off. Is the topic of the Holy Spirit a popular topic, though, Danny?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not in today's age. Absolutely not. Just because I think the Holy Spirit is ignored. He's ignored. Jesus says something in John 10:27, and if we get a chance, we're going to go to John 10 and read it. But John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And he was not talking about his physical voice. He was talking about his Holy Spirit voice. And it's not a popular thing because Holy Spirit, to many in the evangelical world or to many in the Catholic world, and I say Catholic world because that's where we get a lot of our faith from, or even in the Jewish world, to be honest, because that's where we get a lot of our faith from. And I didn't mean to call these out, but those traditions are not traditions to highlight who the Holy Spirit is as a person. And so I think it's not a topic that people talk about because many people that are giving information out are not talking about it because they haven't been illuminated themselves to who the Holy Spirit is. So they disseminate information about Jesus. They disseminate information or give information out about the Holy Spirit or about the Father. But I don't know if they experience the movement of the Holy Spirit. So unless you experience the Holy Spirit, it's not going to be a topic. Does that make sense?
It does. I think it's easier to disseminate information about God and the Holy Spirit more so than actually take on the personality of Jesus. And the personality of Jesus is embodied in the Holy Spirit.
100%.
That's what you're describing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's an experimental thing, right? Because if you look at Acts chapter 2, he's telling them that they're going to have this encounter with the Holy Spirit. Now, he already taught them on the Holy Spirit and telling them in John 16 and 14 and 15, which we love, 14, 15, 16, and 17. And he's telling them about the Holy Spirit. But it was something different for him to tell them about the Holy Spirit. And then we know in John 21, he tells them, you got to sit there until. And we see Acts 1, he tells them, sit here until there's an experience with the Holy Spirit. So they heard Jesus talking about this Holy Spirit and basically himself, the spirit man of himself. But when they experienced the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, we know that there's a demonstrative change and the vocabulary changes because Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaks different than he was speaking before he was baptized and had the experience of the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So the experience of the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit brings validity to what you're sharing about the Holy Spirit.
100%.
In other words, because a lot of times we share above our experiences.
Now we've been saying this for years, and this is such. Let's just stay on this point right here. See, you bring up points like this. Oh, yes, I know what you're saying, but yes, we I want to say show me examples, but I'm going to give some. And let's elaborate on this point for a second. Like, people are teaching or talking about things that they haven't experienced. My question to you then, I know that's a fact. So if you want to give some examples, go ahead. But I want to go in deeper to that. Why? What's the why behind that?
Yeah, I think because we live in a knowledge-centric age, right?
Information. Come on,
and
Doc.
We know the scripture says that knowledge puffs up.
Puffs up.
Right, at the end of the day. So how can I talk about the Sahara Desert when I've never been there before?
That's so good.
I've read about it, but I've never been there before. You know, I've been to Israel, and I can speak to what I've seen in Israel because I've been there, right? Or anywhere in the world or different topics. But like, I think, you know, even when our conversations about basketball, I have to pull the NBA card on y'all sometimes because, you know.
Sometimes, yes, you do.
I do. You know the game. No, you know the game. You my brother. I'm not going to explain.
But it's like,
wait a minute. I actually played against LeBron and Michael Jordan. I actually played against Kobe. I could actually tell you who's. I'll leave that alone for another day.
So what do I do? I can't do nothing.
You can't. You're paralyzed. You're paralyzed.
Silence. You know? Silence.
And we treat the Holy Spirit in that same regard because he's not, we're not awakened to the person, the potency, and the power of the Holy Spirit, but yet still we disseminate and share. Yeah. And so in this age of information, that's more glorified and celebrated than actual experiential experiences, right? And if you do experience the Holy Spirit, it's very disruptive.
Yeah.
To what you have going on.
So we trade in information when, and I say we trade because we should be walking in an illumination, which is him igniting us, right? Him igniting, I had it down, Hebrews 10, where was it? Hebrews 10 that says, I love the way this is this. Yeah. He said, but do you recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, right? And that illuminated, basically, you was just full of light, full of the actual vibration of heaven, right? And that's Hebrews 10:32. It's that, so we trade in the actual experience of the illuminative part of God, the because you know light vibrates, light, you can tell where light is at all times, right? Because it's actually living. And so we trade that which was alive for information that is dead, because right, the spirit brings life, right? But the letter, it brings death, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have given up on the illumination. So we want the information. So we're full of information in today's age. Full of it. I mean, we have more books on Christ than any other time in the history.
And
we have more videography. Go ahead, go ahead.
No, look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I don't come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, but we come in demonstration.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that is the essence of, not to cut you off, but like that's the essence of the experience of the Holy Spirit, is that we're coming to you not with just words or as an empty mausoleum, but we're coming to you as light. We're coming to you as light. And as I come to you as light, right, you're awakened. Right, you're awakened, you're illuminated yourself, actually, And so I think that's the thing that we need to begin to hold on to and really begin to, you know, entrench ourselves into the fact that, listen, we are the light of the world. How does that come?
Let your light so shine. But it also says in John 1 that Jesus is the light. Right.
I said, we are the light of the world.
And that light became life. Right.
Notice my language. He's the light of the world. And if he's in me.
Yeah.
We are the light of the world.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
It's oneness.
You remind me of this. I got to say this, man. You remind me of Zeke. I had to go to Zeke on my computer Bible here. And he said to me,
sorry,
son of man.
Sorry, D. I'm changing my language on you. Sorry.
No, I love it. He said, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. Then the spirit entered me when he spoke to me. I'm going to say this again. This is crazy. I got to say this again. Look what it says. And he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet. It's Old Testament now, Ezekiel. I'll speak to you. Then the spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet. And I heard him who spoke to me. He heard him because he was in him and he was speaking in him so that he could speak through him. But there was this dance of oneness here. And he said to me, son of man. So he's speaking to Ezekiel from Ezekiel. I know that messes
yeah.
up.
No, it's
I got to read
it's
it
what
again.
I just said.
I know that's why I had to read it. You reminded me of this, Ezekiel, that the spirit entered me when he spoke to me and he set me on my feet and I heard him.
Yes.
What?
Yes. Yes.
He spoke to me, but I heard him because he was in me.
Yes. 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 We've got to become awakened to the oneness factor with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because it's not that he's over there and I'm over here. We're actually one. And if Christ is in me and I'm in Christ, then I am Christ.
Yeah.
And I know that's a really hard thing for people to begin to be deprogrammed from, that we're not, but we are one with Christ. Back to your illumination factor, right? And we talked about this during the last podcast. We ended the last podcast with that. Like, I think, again, just to reiterate what we were just saying, it's not enough for you to have information. See, the Holy Spirit comes within you and allows you now to be able to see information totally different.
Yeah.
Your prism of how you disseminate or how you even discern or how you read the information that you're reading looks or hear is totally different, right? And I think that's the thing that we need to begin to harp on, Danny, is that, like, it's not enough for you to know the Bible and be able to retain knowledge of the Bible or retain knowledge of what you hear. Becoming one with that, right? As you become one with the Holy Spirit, you become one with that and you begin to see the mysteries and you decode again the mysteries within what you're seeing and what you're hearing. That's the factor.
Well, that's when it becomes, you know, you heard me say this for years, it goes from being spoken word to submitted word, because you become one with the word itself.
That's right.
So as you're reading it, you have to manifest what you're reading. If not, it's just information.
That's it.
Right. So if I can read about how Jesus walked and not manifest how Jesus walked, then I'm just disseminating information, or I'm articulating, or I'm understanding information. Right. And so I think we have to get from, how do I get from information to illumination? Because faith comes by hearing by the word of God. But faith has to be involved in that, right?
Yes.
And I think faith in the spirit, because I heard this when you said there's a word capacity. Like, we don't deal with this. There are levels of capacity that the Holy Spirit is dealing with us, because we are so complex beings, and we think we know better than God. That's just part of what it is, right? We have an idolatrous nature, by this flesh, that wants to do whatever it wants to do. So the Holy Spirit, you said something powerful, because the Holy Spirit starts working within you to understand the information, so that information can turn into illumination and you can actually be that information that you talk. But sometimes he has to expand your capacity of understanding. We perish for lack of knowledge, but not knowledge and information point of view, knowledge and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to understand the information and implement the information. But I think sometimes we want to stay in low end capacity, meaning I don't want to be accountable to knowing more or understanding more, because now I'm required for more. Now I'm required to practice differently, right? Now I'm required to train. It's like this. I'm gonna give you go back to the basketball. So yes, NBA is different than regular. I played in the NBA court with you, and it embarrassed me, right? Let's just be honest. I was fully embarrassed, right? Why? Because at my capacity, I was not trained or ready to hit that floor. Though I thought I was by information wise. Mm. Oh, this is just basketball. Mm. I'm gonna get out here and play ball. Mm. I'm playing ball with NBA guys. I'm the only non-NBA guy here. What? Mm-hmm. And what happened? My idolatry and my pride of myself thinking I was better because I had some type of information about the game.
Yeah.
But I didn't have the capacity to play the game at that level because I didn't train my vital organs and my lungs to handle a basketball court that was long and understand the game from a deeper point of view, right?
100%.
So I have to work on my capacity. We talk about this all the time when we're playing basketball with guys. And I know some people are like, oh, they talk about basketball. Yes, we normal people that love basketball. And we talk to guys about this all the time. Don't go play ball with us unless you have trained your body. Right? Because you're gonna leave with a torn Achilles and a torn kneecap. And those who listen to it that have played and understood it with us are laughing right now because there are some guys that we... Before they got a call, I said, stop have you worked it. Out? Have you worked Ooh, out yet? It. Do not come in here. And they come out.
What do we see? In, what do we see?
They oh! come anyway. Oh! And they go, oh, they pull some. But the capacity, I want to, there's something that the Holy Spirit is speaking right now about this capacity thing. We have to expand our capacity and allow the Holy Spirit to start taking this information, expand our capacity so that it can now not only be information, but it be illumination and revelation that we can now have those words bring life and light into us and actually change our very DNA makeup so that we are becoming, we are in the process of becoming, continue to becoming more like Jesus. And that's, I think, where we miss it, Mike, is that in the end result is to be like Jesus, not to have more information.
No, you can have information and never. That's why Jesus says, "In my Father's house there's many mansions." And so to me, when I hear that, I hear state of being, right? The states of being, right? And you were on the court that day, but there's levels. So in my Father's house there's many levels. There's many states of beings. You're all sons, but there's different levels, right? And I think you say something so prolific, man, profound in the fact that we have to begin to approach this topic of the voice of God with humility.
Yeah.
I believe, and I'm speaking for you when I say this, that you have known me long enough, 17 years, that if you had options of hearing someone's voice behind a wall and you couldn't see the options, you could identify me in a nanosecond, the moment I spoke.
1,000%.
I can hear your voice. I know your voice so well that in a nanosecond, I would know it.
1,000%.
So it doesn't matter how long you've known someone if you don't know their voice.
I want to hit that. We got to hit this because we said something in the last podcast, right? Whose voice are people listening to? Because... So I'm gonna let you finish on this, but I wanna ask that question. Whose voice are whose people? Because the Holy Spirit is speaking.
Yes.
But there are other voices that are also speaking, and I believe people are listening to the wrong voices. Now, voices doesn't only have to be external voices, voices can be internal too. Now.
Wow.
Now, voices can be pride, voices can be the idolatrous nature of your flesh. That can be a voice. But there 100%. Are also internal and external voices. People tell us, ask all the time. And then one of the most common questions is, how do I hear God? You know what I mean? Oh, and I know this is funny when I say this to people, and I'm just stop talking. Right? Many people want to hear, but no one wants to stand still enough to be able to train their spirit to hear the voice of God. Be still and know that I'm in God. Be still. Get quiet. Get into a place of stillness that the Holy Spirit can reveal his voice to you, because the Holy Spirit is speaking. But there are external and internal things speaking for God, and it's not God. And time tells whether it's God or not. There, you know how many times people be like, oh, God said this, God said this. And it's funny, because instead of saying, I missed God and I heard the wrong voice, we'll make excuses for ourselves. Well, it was not the right timing. No, you didn't hear God. You know who you heard? Your flesh.
That's
how many people have we dealt with, Mike? I'm telling you, they are hearing external voices. A lot of times they're hearing their own internal voices. And themselves are talking, and they miss God, and they come back to us and like, oh yeah, you know, it was just the wrong time of God, or every other excuse, other than just being honest and say, bro, I flat out miss God. I heard the wrong voice. I heard my flesh was so loud. My desire of that thing was so loud that I stifled and silenced the voice of the Spirit.
You said be still and know. You can't know unless you're still.
Come on.
And I really feel like, you know, practically speaking, and I say this from a spiritual standpoint, like all trust is born from a free-flowing communication.
Come on.
All trust is born from that. You know, my marriage is sustained because my wife and I communicate. Danny, you and Deb's marriage has been sustainable. You and I relationship has been sustainable. Why? Because we spend so much time together.
Yeah.
So there's a trust issue with a lot of people with the Father because they don't spend time with him.
No.
Right? They're not spending time with the Holy Spirit. Right? They're not spending time in meditation. Right? Because meditation is a critical part of the Spirit, right? Of hearing from the Spirit.
Yeah.
There is an absolute marriage between consecration and conversation. Let me say that again.
I'll say that again.
there's a marriage between consecration and conversation.
Come right? on.
And so trust is built off the fact that me and the Holy Spirit spend time together all day, every day. Right? And I think when you don't have that communication, when you're not still, when you're not in meditation, when you're not consecrating, right, you begin to have distrust with the things of the Spirit. And you begin to lean to your own understanding at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so your ignorance of this many mansions, your ignorance of this divine state of God consciousness will always allow you to create a Lucifer.
Oof.
It's the devil's fault.
Yeah, because religion needs an enemy.
Which the Luciferian spirit is excuses. Revelation 12.
Yeah.
He's the accuser of the brethren. That's that's another conversation for another day. My point in saying all of this is the fact that, to your point, you were saying the voice is inside of me, right? Yeah. I'm listening to my own feelings, right? I'm listening to what my own comfortability, right? If my life is predicated off what feels good, Danny,
this means
my hearing from God is inaccurate.
Yeah.
If I'm leaning towards what makes me feel comfortable and what's pleasing to my ear and to what's pleasing to my mind, right, that means I'm not hearing from God accurately then, right? Yeah. See, everything that is good ain't God. It's just not.
And you got to become comfortable with the voice of God.
100%.
Because the voice of God will make your flesh uncomfortable.
I got to go to scripture for this. You ready to go to scripture for this? Go to Genesis chapter 3:1. It's something I've read a million times. I really haven't read a million times, but a number of times in my life. And I think this is something that you and I haven't even pointed out, really, in our conversations, but I found it very interesting. Where are we at? Genesis chapter 3:10. I don't even have it underlined in my Bible, Danny. I got everything around it underlined. I don't have 3 and 10 underlined. This is Adam. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden. And I was afraid. What? What? I believe that's the issue of the day, right? That when we get connected to the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit, the God conscious, the voice of God, there is a terror that comes upon us. And part of that is we want to be able to blend the carnal conscious with the God conscious. We want to be able to bring in our ambitions, our desires, our future, right? Our wants into this world, and we cannot. And so when you get into the Spirit of God and when you begin into the presence of God, what you want dies. What you want goes away.
It's interesting that his flesh made him uncomfortable for the voice that he's always heard, the only voice he's heard, he's known.
Think about that, Danny.
The only voice he's known is the voice of God.
What?
And now he's uncomfortable with the voice of God because of what's happening with his flesh.
I was naked and I hid myself. I took on the nature of the serpent.
To your point, I took out that mind conscience. And that mind conscience has me uncomfortable with the God conscience.
Yes.
Because there's a difference. There's a difference. And he saw the difference. There was a difference. There's a difference between someone coming in through the window and someone coming in through the door.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
There's a difference between someone coming in through the window and someone coming through the door. The one that comes through the door, he belongs there. The one that comes through the window doesn't belong. There's an ulterior motive.
The thief and the robber.
And he knew that the flesh, there was an ulterior motive to the flesh.
Adam,
he knew
was
it.
Discontent. He with the knew voice it. Of God.
So he was like, hold on. And I didn't even know you was going there, but to feel comfortable with the voice of God.
There you go.
That means you have to be settled in your spirit and knowing the oneness between your spirit and spirit. That's why they shall worship me in spirit and in truth. Spirit to spirit, meaning God's spirit and your spirit are one spirit, and those attaching one another, that's true worship.
And I'm just as guilty as anybody in saying that, like Adam, sometimes we get discontent with the voice of God.
Oh, 100%.
And what we do is we have other options,
right? Yeah. And I think our flesh, because we don't want to deal with the reality of the flesh at that moment, right? With him, he didn't want to deal with that reality. He knows there's a difference. He don't know where to go for it. When his help, instead of asking questions, which we should all the time, right? We feel uncomfortable asking questions. We feel uncomfortable with having a true relationship with a father. Instead of going and doing the harder work, which is confronting the situation, the options become the options because it's easier not to deal with it, to your point.
The difference between Adam and Abraham, Abraham's the father of many nations. I believe that mantle was meant to be on Adam. But Adam had other options. And I think a lot of times, Danny, in our lives, as we walk this walk out with God, occasionally, more than occasionally, we begin to drift to other options and other voices, to your point earlier.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a lot of voices speaking. I want to read John 10 real quick, just because I mentioned it. Let's just read it real quick, because I want to read the difference between this. And then I can let you close this thing out. John 10. Oh, man, let's read it for the verse. Jesus said to the Pharisees, listen to this internal truth. The person who sneaks over the wall to enter into the sheep pen rather than coming through the gate reveals himself as a thief coming to steal. Now, he's talking to Pharisees here. And we read John 10:10, which we're going to get there, and we illuminate, and we say that Satan, it had nothing to do with Satan, it has everything to do to the false lie. That's bringing the false narrative. Because we bring the false narrative to ourselves, and then there's external forces that bring false narratives to us. Because fear is a voice. Control is a voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what do I mean by that? Fear is a voice. We got this thing happening this weekend, right? I don't know when you're listening to this. I don't know what time, but you know, we got this thing happening where we have the eclipse, and all the folks are coming out of the woodwork. Jesus is coming. Something's going to happen. This is God's going to use this. And it's so wild because there's so many people that are calling me. What do you think about it? Because fear is becoming a voice.
There it is, the garden.
And that's what I'm saying. It goes right back. Fear comes in, right? And now fear becomes the voice that you're listening to and is leading you away from the shepherd's arms, hands, voice, knowing that that's the comfort. The comfort is him, bro. Perfect love casts out fear, and it has no judgment with it. So here, the robber comes through the window. Verse 2, but the true shepherd walks right up to the gate, and because the gatekeeper knows him, he has opened the gates and let him in. And the sheep recognizes the voice of the true shepherd, for he calls his own by name and leads them out, and for they belong to him. And when he has brought out all the sheep, he walks ahead of them. Jesus walked ahead of us, and they will follow him, for they are familiar with his voice, to what you were saying. They're familiar to the voice. But they would run away from the strangers and never follow them because they know his voice is the voice of a stranger. Mm-hmm. The problem is we've been deceived. We're going to get to what Jesus is actually talking about. They shouldn't follow the stranger voice, but they are. Mm-hmm. Jesus told the Pharisees this parable, even though the Pharisees didn't understand what Jesus is talking about. So Jesus went over it again and said, I speak to you eternal truth. I am the gate for the flock. All those who broke in before me. That was so good. Every lie that was spoken before I came to existence. I always was, but before I put this thing called human flesh on, every person that came before me to lie to you about the kingdom and about this whole thing is what it is. It comes to lie to you so that it can control you so that you can follow it. Mm-hmm. And I believe Jesus is talking about all those who broke in. Not only those who actually broke in, but those who broke in your own mind. All those who broke before me are thieves. And he says, who come to steal, but the sheep never listens to them, for I am the gateway to enter through me. Is to experience life. But there it goes, that experience word. Experience life, experience freedom, and experience satisfaction. A thief has only one thing in mind, that he wants to steal, slaughter, steal, kill, and destroy. But I come to give you everything in abundance and more than you expect. Life in its fullness. The experience of the fullness and the overflow of it. Mm. There are many voices that we hear, but a lot of them are breaking in to come and speak to us. Fear, control, ourselves, our pride, our arrogance, our flesh. Such a powerful thing with Genesis, with Adam and his flesh, right? And we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to just, what are you saying? Because the Holy Spirit, every time he speaks to you, is to draw you to the fullness of who you are in Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. Not to get your brand new car, not to get your brand new house, to the fullness, so that you can image Jesus to the fullness that you have been called to walk on earth. Always going to draw you to that. Nothing else. All these other distractions, they easily can be told that they're not the voice of God because they're distractions. If I'm living in fear, hear Adam. If Adam is living in fear to the only voice he's known, something ain't right, Adam. Because you walk with him in the cool of the day. He's just calling you for the walk that you've always walked with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. And instead of looking at what's bringing you away from him, we go away from him. Mm-hmm. Who came through the window? Who's talking to me that came through the window? Who's talking to me out of relationship? But you have to have a relationship before you can have that kind of trust.
Meditation into oneness. Meditation into oneness. Meditation into oneness. Meditation into oneness. Meditate yourself into oneness. And I think that's a critical part, like I was saying earlier about consecration and conversation. It's just, it's really beginning to gird yourself and beginning to discipline yourself to be in a space where you block out the noise of culture, the noise of social media, the noise of YouTube, the noise of people who are actually in a carnal conscience, and begin to get yourself in tune with the Spirit of God. What is the Spirit of God saying? What does Amos say in Amos 3:3? How can two walk together except for they agree?
Yeah.
The carnal mind and the conscious mind can't walk together because they will never be in agreement.
Mm.
Right? Elijah said this, how long will you be halt between two opinions? Multiple opinions, right? If the Lord be God, follow him. Right? But if it's Baal, follow him. Right? Mm-hmm. And I think we begin to undergird ourselves with beginning to be attached in oneness with the voice of God, with the heart of God. Right? And that comes through meditation, right? And time away. I think solitude is our biggest friend, actually.
Man.
I think we're and I'm going to hit this real quick because I think so much time is spent in being everywhere at all times, right? Rather than being in a place of solitude.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Getting
yeah.
away just for some time to just hear God. The TV's
hit
on,
it.
CNN's on.
Hit it.
Come on, man. I mean, HBO's on, right? Fox is on, and YouTube's on, and this pastor, this preacher, this prophet, and da 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 da. What is the Holy Spirit? Begin to center yourself. Find a room in your home, in your basement, in your car, in your shower, and just commit time to the heart of God, the voice of God, right? And I think that's essential to your life because we're trying to live life beyond listening. Let me say that again.
Yeah,
we're trying
so
to live
good.
Life beyond listening. We have to begin to listen in order to live life. And so I really believe, man, that the heart of God in this time is to be able to have us again, I say this from a God conscious standpoint, hear and obey. You know, and begin to hear the Holy Spirit and begin to become, now see again, what attaches to that, the essence of that is obedience.
1,000%.
You talked about this yesterday. I think we talked about this yesterday, right? About obedience. You said it earlier about submitting ourselves, right? Submitting ourselves to, not to his Lord, like the lordship, yes. Salvation, I'm going beyond salvation. I'm talking about maturity now. I'm talking about growing in maturity and more like Christ. I'm talking too much, but I feel
no,
that
you're
strongly,
not.
man.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
No, listen.
Yeah,
I want to
man.
Go back to the stillness that you're talking about. I got to read this. I had to open here while you was talking. We know it verbatim. It's one of my favorite, but I want to go to, I want to end with this stillness because we've been talking about information versus illumination. We need the Holy Spirit to illuminate us. And when he does bring revelation, it's for change. And the change is to be more like Jesus. I'm just summarizing what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
But in order for you to hear, you have to be still enough to hear. And 1 Kings 19:11, we know this story is about Elijah. And then he said, go out. The Lord told him, go out and stand in the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rock in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. When you was talking about describing the way life is right now, it's like that right now. There's earthquakes, there's winds, there's fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And I got to read that. That word is Rapha, R-A-P-H-A-H, in the Hebrew. A still small voice. The Lord was in that voice. And I love it because he heard. So it was when Elijah heard that Rapha, which means to sink, to relax, to sink down, to let go, to withdraw. So there's something about the voice that you find in the stillness.
Yeah.
There's a correlation between the voice and the stillness.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he heard it then, and he wrapped his face in a mantle because he knew it was God. No one had to tell him. And a voice came to him, "What are you doing here?" Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go back to Psalms. Be still. Be still. Be Rapha. Sink down. Relax. When I hear that, because that's actually one of the Hebrew definitions of this in the Hebrew Bible. It's relax. We always tell people to relax. I don't even know why. This is so funny. That it's just, you and
we
I always
go back to that. We default back to that.
We always tell people to relax, God, relax. Like we counsel people like relax, but we're really just saying Rapha,
lay in the presence,
Rapha,
the Lord, man.
Still,
that's it.
The Hebrew word Rapha, still, and I love this because it says not only to sink, to relax, but it also says to withdraw. That's what this word means. Be still, and I love the word know here. We know it's a powerful word, is yada, to know that I am God, to yada, to perceive, to have knowledge of, to distinguish me from another. This is what this means. Ooh. To be known by and be known, and to allow it to be revealed. Make oneself known. This is all this Hebrew meaning, this know, this intimacy that Psalms 46 is bringing you in. Come, Rapha, relax, and begin to start being intimate with a God that's inviting you to this intimacy.
Yes.
He's inviting you to this intimacy. He's Elohim, the plural God here, that word, Elohim. And I love when he says that when you do that, it's so good that it's going to land this way. I didn't know we were going to land this way, but it's so good because it's going to hit back to this humility. But when you do that, when you intentionally relax, say yes to the invitation of oneness, this intimacy with Elohim, the God of all creation, he says, I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will exalt and will be exalted in the earth. Meaning the moment that you yield to the voice in the stillness of life, it only brings you to one thing. It exalts God back into his proper place in whatever you're doing. And so this chaos happening all over you right now, in Jesus' name, what we're telling you is go get still before God. Because whatever other voice, whether it's fear, whether it's doubt, whether it's control, whether it's false teachers and whatever it is, whether it's your voice within your head, all that in his presence starts dimming and he starts being exalted. Go ahead. I know you want to say something.
No, I think that the goal is to be transformed into Christ. And so meditation on the Christ helps you transform into Christ. In other words, whatever you resonate with, you become.
Mm-hmm.
I got to read this in Psalms 135. Psalms 135, and I know we're wrapping up. Let's read 15 through 18. Says the idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands.
Mm-hmm.
They have mouths, but they do not speak.
Yeah.
Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths.
Come on, man.
Verse 18 is the key. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. That's such a powerful, powerful passage of scripture, right? In other words, whatever you resonate with, you become.
Yeah.
Right? And so we've got to be able to set up resonance in the glory of God and in the God conscious, because as we begin to do that, that promotes us to being transformed into the image of Christ. If I hear another voice, I begin to conform to that voice or transform into that voice, right? If I if I resonate with fear, I become fearful, right? And so that's what Adam did. Adam was able to set up resonance in the voice of the serpent. Therefore, he took on the characteristics of a serpent and began to hide and camouflage himself.
So it's so good because you're so, talking about go ahead keep on.
I don't interrupt you. Go ahead.
I was just thinking. I guess I'm reading it through the translation I have, and it's going back to almost what we talked about last week. This worship, this understanding, and if you read, you read 18. If you read 19, bless the Lord, all house of Israel. Right. There's a call to worship from the understanding of the unbelieving nation that's creating idols to worship themselves. So he's calling it out, right? But he's calling it out so that they can get to a place to only worship God, right? Let all the priests bless the Lord Yahweh. Let all the his lovers who bow low before him praise the Lord Yahweh. So bless the Lord Yahweh who lives in Jerusalem and dwells in Zion, right? There's a call out of that idolatry into this worship and this blessing of the Lord. But
it goes back to the garden with Adam and the serpent, right? The ploy of the enemy, the arrival of the enemy, right? Produced an exchange. And that exchange was to give Adam knowledge in trade for his communion with the Father.
Come on, man.
And that's the ploy of the enemy, is to make you knowledgeable while having you break communion. Oh, man. Oh, man.
Yeah.
We're trading in illuminating ability for information.
Think about that. For such a limited thing.
Come on, man.
Limited because it's limited to time, space.
That's where I'm going.
So limited. Go ahead. So go ahead.
No. You said it right there. I'm trading eternity for death, for time.
For the tomb.
All going back to your tomb. To gain knowledge. Erroneous knowledge, because I'm already like him.
Yeah. It's not God's
wisdom. So the Bible says that the voice of God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Very important. And so as we walk with the presence of God, we begin to resonate with him. We become one with him. As we begin to meditate on Jesus, meditate on his nature, right? His personality becomes our reality. So we've got to be into it. This teaching is so important. I hope you're not bored, listeners, with this tonight. This is so, so powerful, man. What we're sharing is so good, Danny. I'm enjoying what you're sharing, man, because this is so essential to our life, man.
I pray that listen to this, that you have God and expand your capacity in the spirit to begin to start training your ear. Jesus constantly said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. I'm going to end with this scripture reading that you just read. I'm going to read it again, but I'm going to let you, and I have it, but I'm going to start 135, 1-3, and then I'm going to go back to 15, because I want you to see it from this translation. Shout hallelujah is how it starts. And praise greatness to our God. All his righteous ones, praise him. All you worshiping priests on duty in the temple, praise him, for he is beautiful. Sing loving praises to his lovely name. I mean, this is the love language here is crazy, right? Then you visit verse 15, which you read, 15, 16, 17, and 18. It says this: the unbelieving nation worship what they make. They worship their wealth and their work. They idolize what they own and what they do. I'm going to say that again. They idolize what they own and what they do. Their possessions will never satisfy. Their lifeless and futile works cannot bring life to them. Their things can't talk to them or answer their prayers. Blind men can only create blind things. I gotta say that. Blind men can only create blind things. Those deaf to God can only make a deaf image. Dead men can only create dead idols. And everyone who trusts in these powerless dead things will be just like what they worship, powerless and dead. But praise the Lord, Yahweh. You're 100% when you read this. It's so good. Dead men, blind men can only create blind things.
That's it.
Those deaf to God can only make deaf image. Dead That's men it. Can only create dead idols. And I'm telling you, if you want to see your life shaken by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's allowing yourself to die to this flesh and become alive in your spirit and hear everything he says for you to do when you do it. And if you don't have the capacity to do it, have the Holy Spirit bring transformation for capacity so that as he begins to start speaking or as you begin to start reading, these things become a life in you. Not only that you read them in a book of papers and like, oh, I can also be this. Because if we have to be like him according to 1 John. And right now, I'm going to end with, I'm gonna let you finish. Go ahead. No, because I'm going to end with this. I'm setting it up for next week. Right now, we are not like him. We're not walking like him. And we don't understand how the oneness is to be like him. And to be like him, not in heaven. To be like him, not in another life. To be like Jesus right now.
I'll say this, and we'll close up. You cannot move beyond your listening in life. Your life is essential to listening.
Come on.
Learning is a secondary consequence to listening. And what we've done, Danny, is made learning the preeminent thing over listening.
Come on, man.
When learning is really a secondary consequence of listening.
Yeah.
You cannot move past listening, and learning is a secondary consequence of listening. What we've done is we've made learning the preeminent thing when God is requiring for us to really listen.
It's so good because when the Holy Spirit's speaking, oh, so good. You have so much scriptures right now, like Peter. Oh, when Peter's coming to my mind, but we don't have time to go there. But when Jesus was being transfigured, Peter talked about that time that he had with the Lord and how that the Lord was speaking to him, right? But there's something to be said that even when men begin to start speaking, because Peter also talks about the false doctrine of men that are speaking from their own desires, you know? And it's weird to me that even when someone's speaking God's word to us, you said something powerful, was that the question is like, are we really listening in the spirit? What the spirit is saying through that man to us? Or are we just caught up with the man itself, with the atmosphere, with how he's saying it, with who's articulated? Is the organ being played? Am I being distracted any other? You know what I mean? Like,
come on.
Are people really listening to the word of the Lord? There is a famine for God's word, and there's a famine for God's teaching of the word. But I still think that God has to expand our capacity and give us tolerance in our hearing. You said something powerful, because the word I heard is tolerance. We don't have tolerance in our hearing. We don't have steadfastness in our hearing. We don't want to stay and hear what the word of the Lord is really saying, right? We want to hear, explain it to me in my language. But you know how many times Jesus spoke to his disciples? He said, you don't even know what I'm talking about yet. We just read it, what he told the Pharisees. You don't even know what I'm talking about, but I'm telling you anyway. And he constantly say, he who has a ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Meaning he who has the capacity and the tolerance and the ear has been worked on. We got to work on our hearing.
Danny, that's so powerful. There's a famine in the land for the hearing of the word of God. Do you realize this is how important hearing is? Do you realize that the shape of a human embryo is the shape of an ear?
Mm. All right, we're done with that.
You can Google it. You can go look it up. The shape of an embryo. This is how essential hearing is.
We just dropped the mic on that one.
It's the shape of an embryo. The shape of an embryo is the shape of an ear. We were created to hear.
Oh, so good. Listen, I have to stop it right there. This is so funny.
You're so silly.
Listen, we love you guys. Help us, Jesus.
That just came to my spirit, man.
Notes on that. I agree with you. You've been created in here. I want to leave them with that thought. I want to leave them with the thought of the ember being the ear. That's so good. We love you guys. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from The Wave Ministries. Visit thewavecolumbus.com for more information.